sound.
Two guys with no credentials.
Reviewing Rolling Stone 500.
Greatest album.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is a bit of a different episode. I got a bit of a strange message from Mike here recently. It was a link to a TikTok, which is not something we necessarily share frequently with each other. Oh, geez. I don't even remember if I have TikTok installed on my phone anymore.
Because we're in our 40s.
I had to like, figure out my password and log back in and finally get to this thing. And it's a much younger person who's much more aware of what's going on in the music world with a big announcement. And what was that announcement, Mike?
Well, it was actually sent to me by my wife. And
plugged into what's going on in the world.
Apparently. and she was explaining that Rolling Stone magazine has updated their list once again with 9 albums. And I believe they were all released in the last few years? I can't remember. I'd have to pull it up again. But anyways, bottom line, 9 new albums. And therefore, they've bumped 9 albums. So
eight new albums.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, eight.
Eight new albums, almost all released since the 2020 list came out, but not all. There's a
couple.
There's just one album changed ranking. So. Kind of a very underwhelming shift. I mean, I was somewhat relieved that it wasn't like a major overhaul, just, you know, three and a half years after they dropped that bombshell on us again. But this feels a little bit like the 2012 list. Like, ooh, let's just update this without actually going back and reevaluating everything again.
It's interesting because at first, I was annoyed. I don't know what your gut reaction was. My gut reaction was just like, really? Like,
just let it age.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, oh man, we don't do a podcast every week. So like, just can you give us a chance to get through, you know, nobody texted us. Nobody emailed us. Nobody called us. Nothing.
Right.
So anyways, that was my initial reaction. What was your initial reaction?
A surprise. I really did a good, you know, 8 or 9 years before they were going to give us a new one.
But it's not. It's not even a new list. It's not a new list.
You're right. In fact, when you go to the Rolling Stone website, there's just this little preamble, editor's note, December 2023. Mm-hmm. That sort of outlines, hey, everyone, you know, there's a few albums that deserve to be on here. And they even end by saying, so we kept the changes light. So for whatever that's worth, I don't know, if, like, can we now expect this every 2 to 3 years that we'll get a few little shuffles and surprises? And because, I mean, that's the thing about setting these rankings is as soon as you put them out there, they're aged. Because new music is always being created, but
yes.
Having it be a bit more organic, you know, slow changes over time. I can't decide if that's a good thing or a really annoying thing.
Okay. So the more I think about it, the more I wonder, does it make more sense to just even every year, to just add in a few, because I mean, there are new albums that, you know, take the world by storm.
Yep.
And you know, in a very short amount of time, we'll talk about Taylor Swift, but I'll say like her album that came out in late 2022 and then kicked off her Eras tour, which we've talked about recently in, I don't know if she had started yet when we reviewed Red last year with our daughters. But there are other albums that, you know, don't have the same influence until later, you know, right. So it might be that in the next few years, there's an album from 20 years ago that's really influencing people more than it did and now deserves to be on. So like, is it make more sense to do it? I kind of like what they did in terms, if you pretend that, if we say that the 2012 list was an editorial, which it kind of was, and that 2003 was the first list, and then the second list was 2020. Okay.
Right.
The people they polled were a totally different group.
Right.
People that were, you know, still in grade school when the first list came out are now hugely influential in the world of music. Yeah. And they should have a voice. Even someone like Beyonce, who was still early in her career, now is just, you know, a behemoth of music and pop culture, right? So like people like that, Taylor Swift, you know, they need to be involved in the list. They need to be the ones pulled, other journalists, other important people. So in one sense, you know, that's practical too, because you get this kind of new wave. The first list we felt it was a lot of like, it was a lot of the same type of people, a lot of musical critics, a lot of people who lived through that 60s, 70s era and worked for Rolling Stone. Then a lot of, you know, middle-aged white men, to be frank. And that's just not, I don't care what group it is, but that's who it was. And it's not diverse. So it wasn't a diverse list. And when you get the 2020 list, you get a lot of albums from those same years, but they're different albums and they represent today's music way better. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that going forward, doing this more often and just saying, here's an update, here's an update, here's an update every year or two, does that make more sense to you, or the other way? Wait, you know, 18 years and just revamp the whole thing.
I think if I had to pick one, I would pick the latter. If they're going to keep it at 500 albums, I think the update every few years makes more sense if it's a Hall of Fame style of list where, you know, this
you just
album,
keep adding it.
You know, like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame says, this is great, so we're going to add it in too, you know? And
yes, and we're not deleting anything.
We're not deleting anything. We're going to acknowledge those. We're still, you know, saying those are great. Mm-hmm. We're just going to add a couple every few years. That would make more sense to me if they are going to do these semi-annually tinkering moves. I even think about our spreadsheet now, which we have one more column now with the 2023 list, which is kind of funny. But I still see all the albums on there as ones I want to tackle eventually someday, even if they've been dropped from the 2023 list or dropped from the 2012 list or now dropped from the 2020 list. And, you know, complicating things even more is they maybe would have been, I would have appreciated this a little bit more had they said, here are 8 albums all from the last 3 years that are deserving, but they didn't. They editorialized again and said, actually, we've got a few albums here that we missed last time. So here's one from 1981. Here's one from 2005. Here's one from, well, maybe those are the only ones that came out in that time, but you know, so you get this strange addition here that I think I'd be more tolerant of if the whole list was being redone.
That makes sense. I guess I'm on the fence, but I think that basically they all, and we'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about this in a sec, but they did almost a straight swap. Like they just took an album out of a spot and put an album in its place mostly. So like, that's fine. You can do that a bit, especially, you know, below kind of, you know, maybe below 300 or 400 and they did a couple higher than that. But how do you do, you can't do that with the top 10 albums, even the top 100 albums, I think is challenging to just little by little do that unless you're doing, then you get to a point where you're almost doing a yearly re-ranking. And right. that's just, I'm sure it takes more than a couple days to put this thing together, right?
Yeah, perhaps. Or I'm sure that they would be able to if they poured enough time and energy into it. Do they want that? Does the listening or does the reading public want a new list every couple of years too? I don't know. If you start referencing the Rolling Stone greatest albums list and you have to say, well, which year are you talking about? Well,
exactly. I don't know. Right. Yeah. It's an interesting move, but last year we talked about when they released, you know, the 100 greatest singers. Was it 100? I can't remember how many.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And one of the things that I think we both agreed with that somebody or that I read somewhere is that the list wasn't put out to be a definitive list. It was put out to get people talking and it was just a, I don't want to say publicity stunt, but it kind of was to get people to click on the page and to talk about it. And that old adage, all press is good press. Because our initial reaction, other people was like, this list is a mess. and right. you know, some of the rankings are ridiculous, you know, rankings of as singers, you know, John Lennon, Bob Dylan, you know, in very high spots, us going, okay, songwriters, storytellers, cultural icons, performers, yes, singers, vocalists, and the amount of amazing successful vocalists who were not on the list was just appalling. And then the comment was, well, guys, they didn't do it to make a conclusive list. They did it to get you and everybody else talking about it.
Right.
So I think same thing. You freshen up this, you know, I mean, 3 years in the world of social media, in the world of pop culture, because it's been just over 3 years since they updated the list. And I can't believe it's been that long. That's like eons in the world of pop culture. Like, think about how much you change from grade 9 to grade 12. Like, you're like a different person in that world. If we're talking about, you know, people who really consume a lot of this, of course, people in their 20s and 30s and beyond as well. But to freshen this up, it just gets people talking about it again.
I think that's
3 years to not change something or to not do something new is like, not to us, but I think to a younger generation, that's old news. You know, that was like, I'll ask my kids, you know, oh, is this so-and-so? I haven't heard this before. Yeah, it is. Oh, is this their new album? Well, yeah, it's from last year. Yeah. It's not their new album. It came out like in July. Be like, that's their latest album. They're like, yeah, dab it. It's not new.
Yeah. Right. And, and this list is a great example of that. I said, hey, Annika, knowing that she's a Taylor Swift fan, did you hear Folklore got added to this list sort of out of nowhere? And she said, oh, Dad, I already know that.
So
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you are still listening, you probably have already Googled this in the time that we have been rambling on here. But we may as well go over the eight albums that were added, the eight albums that were cut, and the one that got moved.
Yes.
In a kind of interesting pivot as well.
Okay, so let's do the eight albums that are new. Okay, so at 491, Harry's House by Harry Styles, 2022. 466, Red by Black Uhuru, 1981. I don't know anything about that or the band. 437, Demon Days by Gorillaz, 2005. I have that on CD and vinyl, in case you're ever over and you want to listen to it. Excellent album. 430, Un Verano Sin Ti, don't speak Spanish, so let's hope the if that is Spanish. By Bad Bunny, 2022. 358 Sour by Olivia Rodrigo, 2021. Number 351 SOS by SZA, 2022. 170 Folklore by Taylor Swift, 2020. And 71 Renaissance Beyonce, 2022.
All right.
Yeah. Some pretty amazing albums. Okay. It's not, they didn't pick like really obscure things, I don't think. The ranking changed. So, Exodus by Bob Marley moves from 71 to 48. Okay. And now here's the albums that here's the albums that are gone. And some of this is funny to me, and I'll talk maybe a little bit. I couldn't tell you where they all go, but I know where some of them go. So Fine Line by Harry Styles, 2019. So that was one of the, I think was one of the, like the second newest album.
I think it was newest album.
Well, I think Billie Eilish, oh no, this one might have been. They were both, I think, in 2019. It might have been this one. I think you're right. So Fine Line. So it gets bumped and replaced by Harry's House.
A newer one.
So yeah. A newer Harry's House, which
he's,
is funny.
He's made a big impact, but that old impact, not as big anymore. We're gonna put this one instead.
The Beach Boys, Today, from 1965. That's gone.
That was replaced by Black Ooh.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's in the same list. Screamadelica by Primal Scream, 1991, was replaced by Demon Days. For Your Pleasure by Roxy Music, 1973, replaced by the Bad Bunny album.
That's a band that I want to learn more about, Roxy Music. I feel like I should know more about them, and now...
My older Gen X friends born in the 60s who grew up listening to 80s music know Roxy Music very well.
Yeah.
I think they were big in the, well, that's a 70s album, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, and fortunately they do still have one left on the list.
They had four, I think, right? Initially.
Or at one point they're down to one. So yeah.
Yeah. My Aim Is True by Elvis Costello, 1977, was bumped for Sour, Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah,
that's a good album. I like it. I'm sad we won't get to talk about it. Well, we'll get to it eventually. We'll someday.
Eventually. Way down to it. Yeah. Goo by Sonic Youth, 1990, was replaced by SOS by SZA. Disraeli Gears by Cream. This is where you start getting into maybe a little even more. I mean, Cream's a pretty influential band. That was replaced by Folklore. And then Legend, The Best of Bob Marley and the Wailers, 1984. That was replaced by Exodus. Because Legend was 48. Exodus moves up, but Renaissance
takes... Swap a Marley for a Marley.
Yeah. But where Exodus was, that's where Renaissance goes by Beyonce. Yes. So Renaissance... debuts on the list at 71 and Folklore debuts at 170, which is pretty impressive. Yeah.
For our personal plans, I don't know. We haven't really finalized this, but really the only change that we do need to tackle, I guess, is going back and doing Beyonce's Renaissance.
Yeah. Everything else is ahead of where we've done already.
It is a bit sad to say goodbye to Legend. It is our most listened to episode of all time, and our reissue of that episode is our second most listened to episode of all time. So
okay.
Maybe we'll just republish that one every few years just to keep those listens coming in.
That one to me, you have always, and I agree with you for the most part, you have always expressed that you don't really feel that compilation albums have a place on a greatest album list because it's usually almost always compiled by the label, and just a producer doesn't have to do with the artist. It wasn't something the artist created as a single piece of art. Right. It's a compilation of hits or whatever the producer wanted it to be. And I agree with you for the most part. And we saw that when it shifted to the 2020 list, we saw a lot of compilation albums either removed or really dropped down, way down to the bottom if they weren't removed. Now we see an album, okay, that not only was still very high on the list, so it was 48, is one of the best-selling albums ever, period, has, I think, second most weeks on the Billboard top 200 or top 100 lists. It's of all time. I think it's second only to Dark Side of the Moon in terms of total weeks.
Yeah,
on that list. I feel like it's because there was somebody on the staff who decided that they agree with you, Ben, that compilation albums shouldn't be on the list and right. push to have this up, because there's no other reason that this wouldn't be on there, because not only is it, you know, it showcases their best music, like it's really good, or their most radio friendly. We said it's doesn't really showcase the political side of, you know, the protest right. side of Bob. And Bram helped us see that, especially when we talked about Exodus, which was just great. And Exodus is a fantastic album, but it's successful and popular and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised by that move. That's an interesting move. What do you think?
It's really interesting. I think that is the album that we have had the least amount of tension with it being on. because it is so beloved one that we were both pretty aware of, even whether or not it's been in our collection. And so, and I think a lot of other people would say the same thing. If they had an entry point into Bob Marley, it was probably through that Greatest Hits album, for better or worse. So I could understand why it was on the list. I think I'm happy now that Exodus has taken its place, but it seems a bit odd to just discard it and to drop it completely, especially with other compilation albums remaining that have not been dropped off. Yeah. So, maybe one of the best-selling, one of the greatest compilation albums of all time suddenly is not on this list, and there are others that still are. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens next time. And this, again, this was not a re-polling of folks. This was a decision in an office somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, editorial. And, yeah, for sure.
You know, in a decade or whenever they actually do poll industry folks again, maybe it comes back. I don't know. We'll have to see. But it is kind of funny to have that dynamic.
I think that our daughters would be maybe a little disappointed if we didn't talk about Folklore a little bit. Uh-huh. Have you listened to those sister albums, Folklore and Evermore, from 2020?
Yes, I have a quick listen. I would say I don't know them as well as some of her other stuff.
Right.
But I enjoy it. I enjoy the sound. And yeah. I was a bit surprised that it showed up here, and actually so was Annika. But I'm sure there are reasons for it. And we'll get to those eventually in a few more years.
Well, I think that you know, there was a good amount of profound music that came out of the pandemic, that came out of lockdown. There were some musicians who used that time alone or with a few people to really explore the creative side, and all the emotions and feelings and tension that was happening at the time. And Taylor Swift gave us not just one surprise album, but two. So she released that in, I don't know, I want to say June or something. I don't think it was April. Was it that early? It was pretty early.
Yeah.
And then in August or October or something, she said, like, just like out of the blue, it was like, tomorrow I'm releasing an album. Like, whoa, you know, like there was nothing. Same with Folklore, was like very little lead up. And with Evermore, she said, you know, we just had so much music from the first sessions that it felt appropriate to release another one. Right. It sees her really delving into a more acoustic side, a more folky side. Obviously, it's called folklore. Really, as I'm talking to my daughter, who's a vocal student, really leaning into her alto abilities. Some of my daughter's soprano, and my wife's an alto, and there are some songs that my daughter can't sing every note, but my wife can, because she really digs into that lower range in her vocal ability, which is pretty interesting for a pop superstar to do that. And yeah, it's impressive. And I think it ushered in just a new era of, no pun intended, of music, not only for Taylor, but really for everyone to be able to switch from a very, her album the year before, Lover, was very, you know, it was pastel blues and pinks and mushy gushy and great music. Like, it wasn't cheesy. Yeah. It was mm-hmm. light and poppy. It was a switch from her previous album before that, which was Renaissance, which was like a revenge album and was blacks and whites and snakes. And this was butterflies and hearts. And then we get this next two albums, Folklore kicking that off, very introspective. The cover is, you know, a picture of a black and white picture of the woods with Taylor just very small in the distance, and just a whole different feel. So I do, and I think also it brought in a lot of new fans, who saw a different side.
I think that point about it coming out of the pandemic, you know, if we are going to add albums, that's a huge part of the last 3 years. And
absolutely.
And the music that comes to mind right away when you think about the last few years is that, well, really an explosion of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, for sure.
But,
right.
But yeah. Especially those surprise albums for sure.
In less than 2 years, she released three albums, you know, in less than 4 years, she did four, right? Like, you know, it was crazy. Actually, I guess 4 and 3 years really. But I'm actually wouldn't have been surprised if they had put her latest album, which came out over a year ago, Midnights, on, because that has just been huge. And with, you know, the tour following that, which is like become one of the biggest tours ever by anybody. It's crazy. So that's, I'm cool with that. I think it's a very high debut, but I mean, she's a pretty influential artist. Yeah, the other one I want to talk about a little bit, I mean, you could talk about lots too, but Sour by Olivia Rodrigo. I mean, she is, you know, a bit of a Taylor protege, if I can be so bold to say, talking about relationships and breakups, and was just a massive album, especially for younger people, for younger females, and just took the pop world by storm again. So like, I'm totally cool with that. And I think it's absolutely hilarious that at $4.91, a Harry Styles album bumps a Harry Styles album. It's just like comedy gold.
So funny. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've listened to Harry's House. It's really good. It's a good album. it's really fun. And so I don't have a problem with that, but, and I mean, Beyonce's Beyonce. So what can I say?
It'll be fun to tackle that one too. We're not sure what we're going to do with that Beyonce review. If we'll wait until we finish this next block of 10, or if we'll just, do a quick review and insert it here in the midst of this, chunk of these next 10 albums. But something interesting. And boy, we're not really recording and releasing these albums fast enough for the pace, it seems, of a new Rolling Stone list. And yet we're having a great time with it, and we hope you are too. So we'll just continue to stick with it and see where it takes us.
So stay tuned. We've got more stuff coming.
Yep.
Not sure how fast, as Ben said, but thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this. Hope to get you thinking about a few things, and check out that list if you haven't, some of the additions. It's the new music for sure. And until next time, we hope you take care of yourselves. Take care of those around you, important to you. And most of all, we hope you'll join us again right here on the SoundLogic Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like what you hear, subscribe on your favorite podcast app and write a review.
Send us a message at our Facebook page, on Instagram, or through our SoundLogic Podcast Twitter feed. Thanks for listening.